Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
And don't forget Zeoli Army. We're back in Cape May, October 11th, Friday, October 11th from 3 to 7 p.m. So I want to see you there. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a great time. You know, I would love, it's Monday and I didn't think I'd have to come on the air and talk about a freaking assassination attempt again. I really didn't. This news cycle is insane. It's crazy. It really is. It's crazy. This is nuts. This should not be happening right now. And obviously, I'm not going to be ignorant of the fact that there are people within this government that want him dead. That's right. There are people within this government that want him dead, just like there are people within the government that wanted Lincoln dead and Kennedy dead. They want this guy dead, too. They do. There are people with, and they've always wanted to stop him. They've tried all kinds of different ways, and they will kill. They're going to try to kill him if they have to. They're going to do everything they possibly can to keep this guy from becoming president. Everything. Don't down me on this stuff. The history, I'm a student of history, okay? I'm not a student of conspiracy theories. I'm a student of history. And history has taught us, to quote Michael Corleone, if there's one thing history has taught us, is that anyone can be gotten to. They got to Frank Pantangeli, who was heavily guarded in a military base, by the way, surrounded by 24/7 military security. And they got to Frank Pantangeli, Frankie Five Angels. Anyone can be gotten to. History is famous about assassinations. There's an entire play called Julius Caesar about the assassination of Julius Caesar, which I think may have been based on a true story. The point is, don't doubt that powerful people try to take out other powerful people. Powerful interests try to take out powerful people who are a threat to their interests. This has been going on since the earliest days of the founding of civilization, where we have had assassination attempts and successful assassinations. Every civilization, every country, every single country has had assassinations of leaders. Failed, successful. So when I sit here and I tell you that I just don't buy that these random lone gunmen are getting so close to Donald Trump, I'm saying that because I don't buy that these random lone gunmen are getting this close to Donald Trump. I'm sorry, I don't. I just don't buy it. It's just too difficult to get this close to a president or a future president of the United States of America. I've been in these bubbles before. Literally, I've been inside these bubbles, whether it's a convention or whether it's a meeting or something else. It's just way too difficult without help. It is. It's too difficult without help. I've been at presidential events a bunch of different times, and I'm telling you, it's too difficult to get this close to the president with a gun. Two different occasions within a couple months. Without help. It's impossible. You're telling me some guy's just hanging out in the tree line for 12 freaking hours outside the president's golf course? Some guy just climbs on a roof with a long gun? While the president's speaking at a... No. I'm sorry, no. I've been at conventions. I've been at presidential events. I've been in the White House. I've been at Mar-a-Lago, when Trump was a protectee, when he was president. I was in the bubble when he was a protectee. I was at Trump National Golf Club in Bedminster when he was a protectee. I was at Trump National Golf Club in Bedminster when he was president. You don't just get to hang out in the woods. You don't just get to climb on roofs and with guns. It doesn't happen unless you have help. Somebody is helping. Now, look, you may say to yourself, that sounds nuts. That's a crazy talk. No. You know what's crazy? The idea that not one but two different lone gunmen can pull this off. That's what's crazy. That's what's nuts. And if this was corporate America right now, and you came to me and you told me as the CEO of a company that, or say you came to the COO of a company and you said that the CEO was almost taken out on two different occasions. And how did anyone know his whereabouts? And how did you and say, well, it was just random. It's just too random. Just you go, no, it's not random, you idiot. Some competitor's trying to kill our CEO. You know, Nabisco's trying to kill the people from Tasty Cake. You're an idiot. Like, can't you see that there's something deeper at play here? But, you know, when it comes to this stuff in politics, it's such a reflexive action to go, oh, well, no, can't be a conspiracy. It's just going to be a lone gunman. It's got to be a lone, someone just acting alone. Listen, I got news for you, but the first presidential assassination in United States history of Abraham Lincoln was a conspiracy. John Wilkes Booth did not act alone. You know that, right? John Wilkes Booth had help. There was an entire funnel of money that was... Read the book Manhunt, if you've never read it, about the assassination of Lincoln, and then the attempt to track down all the collaborators and the extensive money network that was involved, and ultimately how they were able to figure all this out. I mean, it's a remarkable book. It's a remarkable... Actually, they made a show about it, too, on Netflix, Hulu, one of them, but it was good. So it was very well done. Apple TV. Very well done. Very well done. But John Wilkes Booth didn't do it on his own. He had help. It was an inside job, too. The money that was required, the escape routes, the plans along the way of the escape. And there's still, to this day, great questions around Lee Harvey Oswald and whether Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone or not. Now, I know my dear friend Gerald Posner, who wrote the book Case Closed, is convinced that it was just Lee Harvey Oswald acting alone. The question I keep coming back to is, well, then why has the CIA not released the thousands and thousands of documents that are still classified to this day? And how come every president who vows to do so, from Bill Clinton to Donald Trump, gets in there and suddenly decides not to? You know what I mean? Why is that? Every president, from Clinton to Trump, gets in there and goes, ooh, I'm not touching this. All right, I think we're starting here, Matt. I don't know if I may be a second ahead of you here on this or not.
Yeah, we can go to it now.
By the way, Julius Caesar was also an assassination. That was a conspiracy as well, you know. All right, here we go.
Case, I do want to expand on this a little bit with you, but meanwhile, this press conference is just starting right now, again, representatives from the Secret Service and the FBI, local law enforcement. Let's listen.
We, meaning the gentlemen that are up here, which is the U.S. Attorney, FBI, Secret Service, we're going to give you everything that we have. We're going to give you the latest updates. They're going to tell you what's going on with the investigation, everything. And then we're going to do a limited amount of questions. So make them good, right? Don't get into what if and all this. Get legitimate questions. We got it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, everybody ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We're here today to give an update on the investigation in regards to the incident at Trump International. With me is the U.S. Attorney, the FBI, and the Secret Service. Just to give you a little information, as you well know, the road down there on Summit is still blocked off. It will be blocked off probably for the remainder of today and probably a good portion of tomorrow until some of the investigative things need to be done and finished. But we're accommodating people in and out, getting them to the library, getting them to the post office, so the public is not going to be that far inconvenienced. The security level at Mar-a-Lago is the highest it can possibly be now. The road closures are back in place and will remain there. The checkpoints are in place. And my commitment to the Secret Service is to give them every possible resource from PBSO. Once they determine the level of security that they need, they will get all the resources possible. So having said that, I'll let you talk to the U.S. Attorney.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Markenzie LaPointe. I am the United States Attorney for the Southern District of Florida. I want to start by expressing my deep gratitude to Sheriff Rick Bradshaw of Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office for hosting today's press conference and for his department's assistance with this matter. I'm truly grateful for your leadership, sir. I'm also pleased to be joined by our partners in federal law enforcement from the FBI and the United States Secret Service, and also from ATF. Joining us today for comments and announcements are Special Agent in Charge Jeffrey B. Veltri of the FBI Miami Field Office and Acting Director of the U.S. Secret Service Ron Rowe. I want to also thank the men and women in law enforcement who have been working around the clock in the initial phase of this ongoing investigation. Our partners include federal and local authorities who effectuated the apprehension of the defendant and have aided in ensuring federal charges were filed against him this morning. We're here to announce that Ryan Wesley Routh, 58 years old, of Hawaii, has been charged by a criminal complaint in the Southern District of Florida with firearms offenses related to an incident which occurred yesterday at Trump International Golf Course right here in West Palm Beach. Routh was charged federally with possession of a firearm by a convicted felon and possession and receipt of a firearm with an obliterated serial number. He had his initial appearance today before Magistrate Judge Ryan McCabe in the federal courthouse in West Palm Beach. According to the allegations in the complaint, a U.S. Secret Service agent walking the golf course perimeter saw what appeared to be a rifle poking out of the tree line. After the agent fired a service weapon in the direction of the rifle, a witness saw a man later identified as Routh fleeing the area in the tree line. Routh was later apprehended by officers from the Martin County Sheriff's Office in coordination with the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office. The complaint alleges that in the area of the tree line from which Routh fled, agents found a digital camera, a backpack, a loaded SKS-style rifle with a scope, and a black plastic bag containing food. The serial number on the rifle was obliterated. According to the complaint, Routh was convicted of felonies in North Carolina in December 2002.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In March 2010, and therefore was prohibited from possessing a firearm. The FBI is leading this investigation, this ongoing investigation. As the Attorney General stated earlier today, the FBI is continuing its investigation of this incident as an assassination attempt upon the former president. The investigation remains at its early stages. The entire Justice Department, including the FBI, the United States Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Florida, and the National Security Division, are coordinating closely with our law enforcement partners to fully investigate and prosecute this matter. The charges we're announcing reflect the strong collaboration of the agencies represented here. The U.S. Attorney's Office, the Department of Justice, would be unable to carry forth our mission without the invaluable assistance of our federal, state, and local law enforcement partners. I would like to thank the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, and we have Chris Robinson here, Special Agent in Charge, and your Secret Service for the invaluable assistance they are providing, they have been providing. I would also like to recognize the Palm Beach County and Martin County Sheriff's Offices for apprehending the defendant. Again, without the local authorities to assist in those things, it would be literally impossible to accomplish the things we're able to accomplish on the federal side. I want to personally express my gratitude to the attorneys with the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Florida and the Counterterrorism Section of the Justice Department's National Security Division for their nonstop work over the last 24 to 30 hours. Together, we will continue to work tirelessly to ensure accountability and the pursuit of justice. At this time, I will invite FBI Special Agent in Charge Jeff Veltri to the podium. after Special Agent in Charge Valtteri Complices remarked, Acting Director of the U.S. Secret Service, Ron Rowe, will provide remarks before we open the floor for a few questions. On our end, given that this is a pending matter before the court and the investigation is ongoing, all comments will be limited. Thank you very much.
This is the briefing at in Florida regarding the attempted assassination of Donald Trump.
Good afternoon. For a quick introduction, my name is Jeffrey Valtteri, FBI Special Agent in Charge for the Miami Field Office. The FBI immediately responded to the scene here in West Palm Beach, Florida, and we are investigating this matter as an apparent assassination attempt of former President Trump. We view this as extremely serious and are determined to provide answers as to what led up to the events which took place. I want to emphasize we're just a little over 24 hours into this investigation, so we're going to provide as much as we can publicly while our investigation is still ongoing. We must also stress that the United States Attorney's Office is pursuing charges, and that limits some of the details that we can discuss publicly. Yesterday afternoon, Martin County Sheriff's Office took custody of Ryan Ralph, and he was transported back to Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office. Our FBI agents then attempted to interview him, and he invoked his right to an attorney. In the last 24 hours, the FBI and our partners have been dedicated to investigating the incident and utilizing all available resources. These efforts have included our investigative team and the United States Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Florida, in conjunction with DOJ's National Security Division, are actively working hand-in-hand to pursue and subsequently execute search warrants. Thus far, the warrants include a video recording device, subjects' cellular devices, a vehicle, and other electronic devices located at previous known addresses. We are coordinating with the United States Secret Service to complete numerous interviews of agents on scene. We have also interviewed 7 civilian witnesses at the scene, and that is just the beginning. Our FBI's Honolulu and Charlotte field offices have initiated interviews of several family members, friends, and former colleagues of the subject. FBI has deployed several specialty teams to and assets from FBI headquarters and our lab division in Quantico to include evidence and critical incident response personnel. The evidence response team is collecting and processing multiple evidentiary items. These range from the rifle, which is an SKS model with a scope and obliterated serial numbers, to 2 bags, the subject's electronics, and what appears to be ceramic tiles. DNA has also been collected from those items, which are being sent to Quantico for testing. We will also process the subject's vehicle for evidence. The cellular analysis survey team, what we refer to as CAST, conducted thorough analysis of the subject's cellular device locations. The CAST analysis aligns with witnesses' account of the subject's presence at the scene both before and around the time of the incident on September 15th. More specifically, we're continuing to conduct analysis and will be compiling the subject's movements in the days and months leading up to September 15th. Cellular data shows that the subject was in the vicinity of the golf course roughly 12 hours before the engagement with the United States Secret Service. Our investigative teams conducted a neighborhood canvas in an effort to collect and obtain relevant video footage. The subject had an active online presence, and we are going through what he posted and any searches he conducted online. In addition, we're going through media reports and public statements he made that he wanted to recruit Afghan soldiers and others to fight for Ukraine. The FBI has sent multiple requests to companies for returns on the subject's phone and social media accounts. We received several returns and are waiting on additional responses from other companies as well. Our investigative team is completing analysis of the returns and actioning leads as needed. And we anticipate continuing until the FBI knows the full totality of the subject's social media presence. By way of his background, in 2002, as the United States Attorney mentioned, the subject was charged and convicted in North Carolina for possession of a weapon of mass destruction. Law enforcement checks also revealed that from 1997 to 2010, the subject had numerous felony charges for stolen goods. I can also share with you that he was the subject of a previously closed 2019 tip to the FBI where it was alleged he was a felon in possession of a firearm. In following up on the tip, the alleged complainant was interviewed and did not verify, I repeat, did not verify providing the initial information. The FBI passed that information to local law enforcement in Honolulu. On behalf of the FBI, I would like to thank the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office and Martin County Sheriff's Office for their incredible work in actioning the witnesses' information and rapidly apprehending the subject. I would also like to thank the United States Secret Service, the United States Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Florida, the Department of Justice's National Security Division, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, and our FBI field offices in both Honolulu and Charlotte, who have been conducting additional law enforcement activity related to the subject. Your continued partnerships have been invaluable. Oftentimes in law enforcement, we tell citizens to be vigilant and aware of their surroundings. Yesterday, a citizen provided remarkable assistance, which led to the arrest of this subject. We appreciate the public's diligence in passing potential tips and information regarding the subject and this incident to the FBI. If you have any information, please call 1-800-CALL-FBI or go online to tips, that's T-I-P-S, dot FBI.
This is the update on the second Trump assassination attempt right now with a number of law enforcement officials in Florida. You're listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Yesterday afternoon, this country was reminded of the heightened and dynamic threat environment the United States Secret Service and its protectees face on a daily basis. Immediately following the assassination attempt of former President Donald J. Trump on July 13th, the Secret Service moved to increase assets to an already enhanced security posture for the former president. In the days that followed, President Biden made it clear that he wanted the highest levels of protection for former President Trump and for Vice President Harris. The Secret Service moved to sustain increases in assets and the level of protection sought. And those things were in place yesterday. At approximately 1:30 p.m., former President Trump was playing golf during an off-the-record movement to the Trump International Golf Course. A Secret Service advance agent supporting the front edge of the agency's layered approach to protection encountered an individual attempting to secrete himself in the woodline. This happened, the alleged gunman was on the public side of the fence near the sixth green. A layered approach of security is integral to the Secret Service's protective methodologies. And it's also the key to our success. As former President Trump was moving through the fifth fairway across the course and out of sight of the sixth green, the agent who was visually sweeping the area of the sixth green saw the subject armed with what he perceived to be a rifle and immediately discharged his firearm. The subject, who did not have line of sight to the former president, fled the scene. He did not fire or get off any shots at our agent. With reports of gunfire, the former president's close protection detail immediately evacuated the president to a safe location. The protective methodologies of the Secret Service were effective yesterday. The former president's protective apparatus allowed for the early identification of the threat and led to a safe evacuation. The increased assets directed by the president, by President Biden, were in place yesterday. These included the counter-sniper team elements, counter-surveillance place, and counter-surveillance agents on the exterior, counter-assault teams partnered with local tactical assets from the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office, and counter-unmanned aerial system elements. All of these entities were present yesterday. And while all of these assets were in place, as I've said publicly, we must satisfy the basic requirements of the Secret Service's protective methodologies. In partnership with local law enforcement, we did just that. And the agents' hypervigilance and the detailed swift action was textbook. And I commend them and our partners for an exemplary response in keeping former President Trump safe. And I will tell you, having served in local law enforcement in Palm Beach County, I can state that I am tremendously impressed and appreciative for all of the efforts of the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office and Sheriff Schneider with the Martin County Sheriff's Office. But what was critical to this was the quick reaction, the response, the hypervigilance of the men and women of the United States Secret Service, who since July 13th have been rising to meet an unprecedented and hyper-dynamic threat environment. And they are rising to this moment, and I could not be more proud of them and the way they have executed, not only yesterday, but what they're doing today and what they are doing tomorrow and what they will always do because it is their duty. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Sure. All right. Well, go slow here, folks. All right. Don't let everybody do it at once. Ask who you want to answer the question and then give the question.
I have a question for you, Director.
Yes, ma'am.
Is there any evidence to suggest that the suspect knew that Donald Trump would be on the golf course at that time? And was the golf course searched thoroughly before the former president's arrival?
So at this time, it was an off-the-record movement, meaning it was not on the former president's official schedule. And what I go back to is the layered approach. The elements and the methodologies of the Secret Service, there was a front element. It did its job in sweeping ahead of the president. That's what identified this individual who was in that wood line. And the swift action of that agent doing his job, pushing out ahead, sweeping while the president was behind him several hundred yards and several holes away, out of sight from the gunman, did his job. And that was what alerted the detail, and the swift action is what triggered that.
First question, was there any evidence to suggest that the suspect knew that Donald Trump was going to be on that golf course at that time?
Based on what I know now, and it's an active investigation, I don't have any information on that.
Director Parker.
How many times did your agents go around the perimeter and scope out the golf course during the 12 hours that this guy was holed up in the shrubbery?
So this was an off-the-record movement. It wasn't a site that was on his scheduled. It wasn't part of his schedule. So there was no posting up of it because he wasn't supposed to have gone there in the first place. Director, Garrett
Haig. Have you briefed former President Trump on your findings so far? And has his campaign asked for any changes in his security going forward after yesterday?
So, I've had a conversation with the former president. We've explained and we've worked with the campaign. The president is aware that he has highest levels of protection that the Secret Service is providing him. We constantly evaluate based on threat. And yesterday, what we show is that our agents and our protective methodologies, and there's a lot of tactical assets in place, things that have been put in place as a result of what happened 60 days ago, those elements are working, and that demonstrates the redundancies that we have. And so we constantly evaluate. We'll of course, look at this and see what lessons learned from it. But as of right now, we are constantly evaluating that threat. And if we need to ratchet up additionally, we will. Yes, sir.
Do we know when Ralph arrived in Florida in general, when he arrived in Palm Beach, the area?
That's a question probably for the FBI.
If he's been at the golf course prior to this scoping it out.
We're in the process of collecting a lot of evidence, and that will be part of that investigation to determine his whereabouts going back quite some time.
Do you have any idea where he might have gotten it?
That's part of the investigation as well. Again, that's going to be a little bit challenged until we're able to determine the serial number on that gun. So we're hopeful to be able to do this. We're still looking into that.
The sheriff mentioned about the highest level of protection that they would lock down the golf course. Was that a miscommunication then, being that President Biden ordered the highest level of protection?
Do you want to?
answer this right for you.
Go ahead.
Okay. So here's the deal. When it comes to Secret Service protection, we provide the highest level. So, for example, yesterday, counter-assault team elements. I'm not going to go into the number of personnel that we have out there, but we have the highest levels from Secret Service. When we work with the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office, like, for example, yesterday, during that emergency action response, we had their local tactical team assets partner with our local tactical team assets. We had their helicopter up in the air, providing us 360 and situational awareness of the overhead for any, if there were any potential threats coming to at us. So what we did yesterday was exercise our emergency plan based on the number of tactical assets and the highest level of protection that we are providing. The sheriff and I have talked. Now, clearly, when you go down Southern Boulevard right now and you try to get over to Palm Beach and you see the robust presence that's existing outside of Mar-a-Lago, the heavy uniform presence, the additional assets of the Secret Service. And for those of you that were here in 2017, when the president was in office, when you look at that footprint now and you look at it today, there's not much difference there. There is heavy uniform presence out there. And again, what I go back to is yesterday was an off-the-record movement. Off the record. And the president wasn't even really supposed to go there. It was not on his official schedule. And so we put together a security plan, and that security plan worked.
Director, I know that the Secret Service has asked for additional resources.
Him being in the vicinity, Special Agent Daltrey, in terms of him being in the vicinity, based on his phone records, is there any evidence to show that Ralph was in the vicinity in the area before Sunday? And when you say in the vicinity, does that mean right there at that spot in those bushes, or could it have been, you know, down the street at a restaurant?
It was in very close proximity to where he was spotted by the Secret Service. In terms of your first question, whether he was there earlier, our investigation is still looking to determine that.
Whoa, 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 whoa. We're going to do two more. You get one.
Thank you.
All right. Only two more. You get one.
Okay. We understand that the Secret Service has asked Congress for additional resources since the Butler rally. Have you received those resources yet?
So thank you for that question. So we are working. Look, the Secret Service operates under a paradox of zero fail mission, but also that we have done more with less for decades. And this goes back many, 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 many decades, right? What I can tell you is that we have immediate needs right now, and we have great support, not only from President Biden, and you saw his public statement today, where he said that, you know, he's going to direct his staff to make sure that the Secret Service has the resources it needs. We're having fantastic conversations with members of Congress. I've been up to the Hill last week. We are continuing to have those conversations. But the long and short of it is this. Coming out of Butler, I have ordered a paradigm shift. The Secret Service's protective methodologies work, and they are sound. And we saw that yesterday. But the way we are positioned right now in this dynamic threat environment, it has given me guidance to say, you know what? We need to look at what our protective methodology is. We need to get out of a reactive model and get to a readiness model. There could be another geopolitical event that could put the United States into a kinetic conflict or some other issue that may result in additional responsibilities and protectees of the United States Secret Service. And so we are working. We are making information available to all of our partners. And I just want to say that the commitment of Congress to the Secret Service throughout the years has been tremendous. And we will continue to work with them and Secretary Mayorkas, whose support in making sure that we're getting what we need has been phenomenal. He is one of our biggest champions and our advocate. And so we're having these conversations, and I feel confident that we will get what we need. We have immediate needs. We have future needs, too. I need to make sure that our counter-snipers are the best-trained counter-snipers in the world, that they are exactly doing what we need them to do, and that they match counterparts in the military and Tier 1 forces. And right now, we are working with Congress to make sure that we get those for our training facility. We also have a necessary need to make sure that we're getting the personnel that we have. And that requires us to be able to have the funding to be able to hire more people. You can't just give me money and say, hey, we're going to make sure that everybody gets overtime. Because the men and women of the Secret Service right now, we are redlining them. And they are rising to this moment, and they are meeting the challenges right now. And if you look back at their body of work over the last 60 days, the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee,
the Republican National Convention in Chicago, a visit of Prime Minister Netanyahu to Washington, D.C., and to West Palm Beach, which Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office supported. And then we go into the presidential debate in Philadelphia last week. And for those in the media that have been to a national special security event, if you saw the National Constitution Center last week, what you saw was pretty much a mini national special security event with the number of assets that were on that perimeter. And so our folks are rising to this moment, but it requires all of us to be able to have good conversations and make sure that we're getting the Secret Service where it needs to be. And I'm confident that we will achieve that because we don't have an alternative. Success, we have to have it every day. We cannot have failures. And in order to do that, we're going to have some hard conversations with Congress, and we're going to achieve that.
Last question, one more.
The special agent in charge of the FBI?
Yes, sir.
Did he act alone? Did he have some kind of help?
At this point, we're still exploring that, investigating that. Our investigation will determine that. We do not have information that he's been acting with anyone else at present.
Do we know how long he's been in Florida when he arrived?
Oh, you snuck one in there.
At this point,
our investigation is still determining that. Thank you.
That's it. We're not going to do any more. All right, you got a lot of information there. The last thing I will tell you is, like the director of the Secret Service says, you know, the president called me last night, President Trump. He thanked me for everything that we did along with the Secret Service. He knows we work great together, and he feels safe. That's important because he is. And what we did yesterday proves that the system can work because the suspect didn't even get close to getting a round off, and we apprehended him and brought him to justice. So we're very, very proud of that. Thank you, folks, for being here. I appreciate it.
Okay. So there's a lot of information, but not a lot of answers. No information on the shooter, if he worked with anyone. That's kind of a big takeaway here right now. All right. We got to take a quick break. We're way over, but give me your thoughts if you have them. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. And they also said Trump was not supposed to be at the golf course yesterday. This was an unplanned movement, and no information on if he worked with anyone. So they're not saying he didn't. They're just not saying if they have any information that he did. And that is the big story of the day, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com. And Trump just put out a new campaign ad highlighting all of the rhetoric the Democrats are using against him, all the violent rhetoric the Democrats are using against him. Listen, relationships matter at Cherry Hill Vavo. You hear me say it all the time. It's a guiding principle on how Judith and her team run their business. They build great relationships by providing a luxury Vavo experience and always doing what is right and always making you drive away with the absolute best deal possible. That's because they pride themselves on finding you the most aggressive deal on a Vavo. Cherry Hill Vavo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. They pride themselves on this. And right now, you can get a lease, a 36-month lease on a 2024 front-wheel drive S60 for only $369 a month. That's right, only $369 a month. Or a 36-month lease on the exciting C40 for only $369 a month. Down payment, taxes, and registration fees due at inception, except no taxes on the C40 in New Jersey. This is a great time with their back-to-school specials to go see our studio sponsor, Cherry Hill Vavo. You'll have the absolute best deal and, most importantly, the most amazing customer experience because you deserve a luxury buying experience when you're buying a luxury vehicle like a Vavo. Judith, Yosef, and the entire team would love to see you. And right now, this amazing lease on the S-Class, which is made in South Carolina, I should mention, at their plant in South Carolina, American-made, 36-month lease, 2024 front-wheel drive S60 for only $369 a month. You can't beat that at Cherry Hill Vavo, where relationships matter.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
So the big takeaway is that the guy was at the scene for 12 hours. Trump wasn't supposed to be on the golf course, and the guy didn't get a shot off, but he came close. They saw the rifle sticking out through the gun sticking out through the trees. lot of questions around this, a lot of questions. And this guy's been on the FBI's radar since 2019. And the guy traveled to Ukraine. And the guy gave all these media interviews. And the guy was open about wanting Trump to be killed. So that's what we know. Beyond that, I didn't get a lot out of that press conference. I didn't, you know, they don't know if he worked alone. They're not saying, they're just, but the fact that they said Trump was not supposed to be there, this was an unplanned movement. So he just decides to go out and play golf, and this guy just happens to be there waiting in case Trump goes, something is not connecting here. You know what I mean? Something is not connecting with this. And the other part, too, that I find frustrating is that they asked the question, did you scour the perimeter? You know, did you do a sweep of the perimeter and like this? And like, well, it was an unplanned movement. Okay. Well, Trump just doesn't. I mean, even if he just goes, all right, you know, I'm going to just go play golf right now. Like, you know, he's doing something else. He goes, I'm just going to just go play golf, and runs out to a golf cart and just jumps in at that moment. Don't you then maybe then secure the perimeter? I don't know, drive around with a truck or so. Send a drone up in the air, make sure that there's nobody hiding in the trees. On the off chance the president may just go out for a round of golf, you know what I'm saying? Like, that also bothers me about this whole thing. Because even if the president decides, okay, I'm just going to go randomly play golf, there's still a lot of moving pieces to him deciding to go play golf. Sure, he doesn't need a tee time like everybody else. It's his golf course. But you still have to get the agents out there into the carts. You got to get everybody out there. You got to. And then once he's out there, I don't know, the time between the first hole and the fifth hole, there's a lot of time there for you to possibly then check and make sure that everything's all good on the course itself outside, now that it's an unplanned movement, but he's now planning to go to the second hole, the third hole, and all the way up to the 18th hole, presumably if he's playing 18. So that doesn't really excuse this here. You know what I mean? Now, they said Trump now has the highest United States Secret Service level of protection. So that's what it took for him to get that. It took now two assassination attempts on his life to get the highest protection level of the United States Secret Service. The acting director says all the right things. I don't know. I have a lot of questions here, and there's no information on if the shooter worked with anyone. They're not coming out and saying he didn't. They're not saying he did. I want to play this clip for you. So Trump put out a campaign ad today, and he's highlighting the Democrats' rhetoric against him. A bunch of celebrities and news people and everything. The ad starts with Kamala Harris joking about killing Trump in an elevator. It features Madonna, Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, Maxine Waters, and others. And this is the ad. Take a listen.
If you had to be stuck in an elevator with either President Trump, Mike Pence, or Jeff Sessions, who would it be?
Does one of us have to come out alive?
Press always asks me, don't I wish I were debating him? No, I wish you were in high school, I could take him behind the gym. That's what I wish.
I said, no, I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country. Maybe there will be.
That you cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about.
If you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
President Walker, how do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
When they go low, we kick.
Please, get up in the face of some Congress people.
Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
That was Madonna at the end. You know, and all that, again, in my mind, is pretty mild compared to the stuff comparing him to Hitler and saying he's a threat to democracy. I've read you that list before. Because, again, I think there's two different things here. There's the one thing about political rhetoric, about punch him in the face or the other. It's, that stuff, that's all. It's the stuff that he's Hitler and he's a threat to democracy and he's going to destroy the world that I worry somebody's going to hear that and think that this is the right thing to do by taking him out because you're saving humanity from the greatest threat to humanity. You know, that's what worries me. It's that. It's that aspect of it. The whole idea of, you know, if you could have taken out Hitler, would you have done it? Because that's what they compare this guy to. So I actually would make that commercial even stronger. I would make that commercial stronger. I would just focus on all the people that compare him to Hitler and compare him to Mussolini and say he's a threat to democracy, a threat to democracy. Forget all the stuff about punching him in the face and all the other stuff. That stuff's been going on for years in rhetoric. But go the next level. Go the higher level. The higher, the deeper level, which is all the times they say those things about Trump. Because that's, to me, what is probably, I don't know this for a fact, I can't confirm that, but that's probably what's motivating these lunatics. I'll tell you what is a fugazi, though, are all the bomb threats that they've been calling into Ohio, by the way, just so you know. All the bomb threats in Ohio. I'll share that with you in the 5 o'clock hour. But Governor Mike DeWine of Ohio is a wuss. Confirmed that there were 33 bomb threats against Springfield schools that all turned out to be hoaxes and originated from overseas. This kind of reminds me of Wilfred Riley's book, Hate Crime Hoax. Because, you know, what they've been doing now is they've been blaming Trump and J.D. Vance for these alleged bomb threats in Springfield over the they're eating the dogs or eating the cats claim. And all the bomb threats turned out to be fugazis. But these two assassination attempts on Trump have not been fugazis. These have been very, very real. These have been as real as they get. As real as they get. So, I'm just saying, to me, it really sounds like we got a problem here. It really sounds like we got a problem in this country with people who have been told over and over again that this guy is a true threat to everything we stand for in this country. Everything we stand for in this country. And I have a problem with that. I really, really do. I really do. 855-839-1210 is the number on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli, if you'd like to weigh in. We've got Matt Whitaker joining us, former acting attorney general of the United States. Matt Whitaker will be here at 5 o'clock. We'll ask his thoughts on all this breaking news of the day. And more details are coming in, more information. But again, the FBI has had this guy on their radar since 2019. And they said Trump was, it was an unplanned movement of the president, of the former president of the United States of America, an unplanned movement. So whatever that is, just saying, you know, it doesn't excuse a damn thing. And to my mind, it also only just gives me more questions. But yeah, he's been on the Bureau's radar since 2019 over a tip that he was in possession of a firearm. And obviously, again, all the travel to Ukraine. So it makes me think there's a whole lot more to this story. All right, we got 30 minutes of nonstop talk coming up straight ahead for you. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.